Hello, welcome back to the Anxiously Artistic Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Alondra. If you're new here in this podcast, we talk about anxiety and creativity. So how I exist as an artistic person that also has anxiety. But the key is, we don't let anxiety best us over here. We talk through traumas, we process things, and we continue to go. Today we are talking about celebration. And I am so glad that this topic has come up. I've been meaning to talk about it for some time, and I just sat down and got my notes together. So let's get into it. I recently had a birthday. Really recently. And unfortunately, I also had a crisis and a depressive bout that came with it. I'm not extremely proud of it, of course not. But it's just one of those things that happens. And I was telling my partner how I can count on two fingers the amount of times that I have actually celebrated my birthday. Well, in terms of a party or some other gathering. And as I think about it, it's actually pretty sad. Honestly, as I reflect, there hasn't been much of anything that I've sat down and actually celebrated or congratulated myself for. And just in general or in my life. Of course, when you're younger and you think about being an adult and how you'll have all of this fun in freedom, you don't really have the foresight or the maturity, of course, just to see how things as you grow up may impede that fun and that freedom. Wouldn't it be great though if we had that? Of course it would. Who am I kidding? But what would we learn from that? You know, if we thought that we could sniff it out, we wouldn't learn anything. Anyways, thinking how I have treated major things as minors in my life created space for me to start digging deeply into why I almost always minimize the good parts of my life. Here's a trigger warning, though. I'm about to get into domestic abuse and domestic violence. So if this is a thing that is particularly triggering for you, I would suggest you skip this episode altogether, or I'll probably try to put timestamps. But I am going to be revisiting a very traumatic experience in my life, though I will try to not go deeply into detail. So when I was in my teens through my early 20s, and honestly probably past that, I was in an extremely abusive relationship with a narcissistic person. I was gaslit so much in this relationship to the point that I didn't know which thoughts I owned. Had no clue what thoughts were mine and what thoughts were those implanted in me from this person. This person had done such a good job of convincing me that I was never happy for anyone else's success. He did such a fantastic job, and this sounds very ironic here, that even today I still very much question those thoughts, and it's been many, many, many years. He told me that I could never congratulate anyone for anything, all while he was in the mist, in the background, tearing through me in every way possible. This relationship resulted in me becoming a parent, and the veil was shortly lifted after that, revealing that everything, and I knew me, everything he claimed was categorically untrue. I had already internalized it though, so a little too late. And let me tell you, it has been a nightmare trying to unlearn all of those bad habits and all of that toxicity that was not mine to embody. I did embody it though, and I embodied those words meant to harm and dispossess me of my happiness, and finding that I had cut off the part of me that felt guilty for being happy or even congratulatory for myself, because I was constantly being accused of not being happy for people. I had to essentially cut out that part of me that was happy at all. I couldn't be happy for others and I couldn't be happy for myself, but that was just not true. I was very much happy for others, but I internalized it so much that I could not celebrate me. I found that the house of cards that he had built were starting to come tumbling down. Even after that veil was lifted, more and more things just started to shift. I remember distinctively when I had put myself through undergrad and even a master's program, this ex would catch wind of it after the fact, after I had graduated. He would call me up and he would pick an argument. He would only do so he could claim that I should have notified him of the date so that he could have brought me balloons and flowers and made this whole show of it. At my commencements, I remember him doing this for my baccalaureate as well as with my master's. The funny thing is, I don't even recall him, because I knew him when I graduated high school. I don't even recall him doing this when I was when I had graduated high school. So that's where a lot of the irony sits for me. And though people may think, like, well, you know, what's the issue with him knowing so he can bring you flowers and, you know, make it this whole show? But just as I said, he had not done this when it came to my high school graduation. And also, I was at this point where I pretty much had cut off all extra and external communications. I was not completely no contact, but I was as no contact as I could get, especially considering how much abuse he had visited on me after all of these years. And even after the relationship was terminated, he still was up to his old tactics, and he had nothing new under the sun. I then realized that he had never wanted me to win. At least not on my own. Not anything that I can claim for myself. He wanted to be the linchpin for my success and to be able to claim. And I find that narcissistic people, even when they had nothing to do with your W, in a sense, they still find a way to make it their own. So there may be things like, well, if you hadn't have left... I can't even say it, it sounds so damn stupid. If you hadn't left me, if we hadn't broken up, if we hadn't have, you know, split up, you would have never found your way. You would have never found that person. It takes an iron-bellied, yellow-bellied individual, because you gotta have a strong stomach to be that big of a coward to turn around and say some nonsense like, well, you wouldn't have gotten that if it weren't for the fact that I pretty much catapulted you into... Anyway, it's gonna make me mad. It's gonna make me mad all over again. But like I said, he couldn't fathom the fact that I had gained something without him. And he's one of those monitors as well. He always likes to keep his eye on things, even when I don't tell him. And in fact, I've realized that he delights in my struggle. There have been times that he's thrown things in my face and have talked about, you know, how I was struggling, even though I really never was. And he was doing so amazing. And I'll save that conversation for another day, what my thoughts are about that. So because of all of this, I drew a strict boundary for him. But I found myself not drawing a strict boundary around the toxic and infected mindset and the culling of my self-esteem that came thereafter. After all was said and done, after the years of every type of abuse you could fathom, I didn't realize that the seeds had been planted. The seeds of doubt, the seeds of unhappiness had been planted firmly into my brain. And it took such a long time that any time that someone had a discouraging word to me, I felt the need to internalize it and not actually look at the situation at hand and who that person was. I immediately thought it was me. So once I dug deep to see this villainous origin story, I surveyed how many times I haven't celebrated, or even the amount of times that I've talked myself out of celebrating the things in my life. And man, was it a lot. How I shrugged off any reason to rejoice, and I just continued business as usual, bootstrapping it. Well, here's the thing about bootstrapping. It doesn't work. That's it. It don't work. It don't work. Instead of pulling up one by their bootstraps and of a certain hope attached to that, Dr. Jeff Duncan Andrade warns that this hokey hope, as he calls it, where we continue to bust our humps in hopes that things are ameliorated despite the circumstances saying otherwise, does not account for inequalities and unfairness visited upon marginalized people. He also claims that this sort of militarism makes way for false caring. And that's precisely what I was doing to myself. I was falsely caring about myself. I was pretending like I was protecting myself from outside forces because I didn't celebrate me. I had hopes that, well, if I just, you know, suited up and continued to pace myself with the work that I was doing, then at some point it'll pay off and I'll get to rest. And I'll get to celebrate, and all the things will be fine, right? Boy, was I wrong. I had sold myself a dream, essentially. By handpicking success, by saying if I can work hard and achieve this thing, then I can celebrate the next milestone. And who was I kidding? Myself. I was kidding me. I lied to me. There was no next celebration, only busting my ass to climb to the next peak. I saw this throughout 3 graduations in 10 years, most notably and most recent being my doctorate, something that I accomplished without losing myself. In fact, I learned so much about me and my abilities. I saw this in authoring articles and conference panels, in birthdays, in anniversaries, in winning competitions, in being selected by celebrities, and honored by students. I felt bad for celebrating my successes. I couldn't enjoy knowing that I had the juice, knowing that sometimes it was because it was me. And it felt so bad when I had to sit down and look at myself. When I had a breakdown for my birthday because I had been telling myself I had not achieved anything, and that was a lie. It was not true. And I had so much to celebrate. So much. I'm brought to the scripture in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 14, that states, "Sing for joy, daughter," and you can insert name here, "shout loudly, be glad and celebrate with all your heart, daughter." And I took that to heart. That is for me. Be glad, celebrate, shout loudly, sing for joy. All the jubilant words, right, of celebration, all the things telling us to let our hair down and be happy. Because there is something to celebrate. There is something to rejoice in because you've done such work. Another scripture that I'm brought to is Psalms chapter 149 verse 5. This says, "Let the faithful celebrate in triumphal glory. Let them shout for joy on their beds." God commands, He encourages us to celebrate the dedication that we have committed, no matter where we are or who with. In fact, we don't even need anything in particular. You notice here in the verse that He says to shout for joy on our beds. Like, we don't need something fancy to celebrate the things that we have accomplished. And God's power is amazing that it leads us to doing the things that we are gifted to do, our talents, right? So I say all that to say, you know, we have a particular reason, a command even, to rejoice. And I know I've mentioned it before, but I am kind of like intermittently reading Here For It, or How to Save Your Soul in America. I love the title, by R. Eric Thomas. It is a collection of essays that he has written, and it's quite divine. It's pretty hilarious, I'll say. But there's a point in the book that caught my eye in the first couple of pages that Eric is recollecting his claim to fame and the pivotal moment in his career where he becomes a distinguished columnist. And on pages 4 and 5, he chronicles that moment. And I'm going to read a bit of that excerpt here. He says, or he writes, "At this time, I had about 1,500 Facebook friends, almost exclusively people I had actually met. I had, on occasion, posted something funny online that friends shared with their friends, who shared with their friends, eventually giving whatever I'd written a temporary social lift." That's how the internet works. And the first time it happened on Facebook, when my blog post about how expensive Beyonce concert tickets were got 100,000 page views, I thought I was famous. The internet will quickly remind you that you're not famous. You just did this one thing, this one time, and that was yesterday. So why are we still talking about it? That whole quote. But more so the latter part, where the tone shifts to the internet, where the internet will quickly remind you. But sometimes it's not the internet. Sometimes it's those, you know, inner voices that don't mean as well. Like, okay, yeah, you did that. So what? What about it? What about it? Get over it. That was yesterday. Let it go, baby. Work on something else. And one, I feel like that is the capitalist demon talking, because of all of the production stuff. Like, you always got to be working. You always have to be producing. I think that is a lie. But that's neither here nor there right now. But him talking about, well, why are we still talking about it? Well, it made me think of this. Most of our fathers, and some of the deadbeat ones, are still recounting those old high school stories, those old glory days that happened eons ago that nobody remembers and they misremember. So if they can still talk about it, why can't we talk about something that happened last year, this year, a couple of days ago? Hell, why not? From high school ourselves. Celebrate that shit. That's it. Celebrate the promotion. Celebrate the trip. Celebrate the completed piece. Hell, celebrate the beginning of a new passion project, even if it's not completed. Celebrate it. Okay? Whatever it is, rejoice. Be glad. Life is hard as it is. There's no reason that we shouldn't be reevaluating our values and attitudes and relationships and habits and hobbies to incorporate favorable things that bring us joy and that we can celebrate. It's a little cliche, but life really is too short to be focused on the things that we can't celebrate. As the Apostle Paul told the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, he says, "Whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, and commendable, if there is anything worthy of praise, keep your thoughts on these things. Keep your thoughts on things of this sort." And I, for one, have spent too much time not dwelling or practicing this tenet. I've been harboring things that don't matter, that are unimportant, and that have constantly kept me reeling for no reason. Oh, since we're on the topic of celebrating, I'm proud to announce that by the time that this is uploaded, I will be celebrating my nuptials. I'm definitely excited, in case you can't tell. Even though my past experiences have kind of been sucky, I can rejoice now knowing that all of that craziness, it has been a lot. It's been a lot. All of that has led to this point with a wonderful human being. I'm truly blessed to have found my partner. Anywho, what will you be celebrating right now? Is there something that you have been putting off that you wanted to celebrate and you said now is not the right time? Go ahead, baby. Go right on ahead and commemorate it. Buy yourself a treat. Mark it in your calendar. Plan a date for yourself or with friends or family or all of that. But whatever you do, whatever you do, don't let another day go by without recognizing all of the work that you've been putting in. This has been Dr. Alondra with the Anxiously Artistic Podcast, and I'm so glad you're here. Anyway, hope you have a wonderful rest of your week. And until next time, bye.